Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph, we're up to the third line of the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Bo mi nemi Rav Sheshes, Arel mahu b'maiser, ki hechi di yolif pesach mi maiser le'inyan aninus, yolif na mi maiser mi pesach le'inyan arelus, o dilma chomer mi kal yolif, kal me chomer lo yolif. The Gemara raises the following question. If you have a person who's an Arel, is an Arel allowed to consume maiser sheni? What's the question? What's the issue? So the question basically is, do we use Karban Pesach as a paradigm to derive? We know that an Arel is not allowed to eat Karban Pesach. That's a pasuk in Chumash. So do we say, well, just like an Arel can't eat Karban Pesach, so too an Arel is not allowed to consume maiser sheni? And again, just as we know that there are comparisons between Karban Pesach and maiser sheni regarding an Onin. Again, we actually referenced this last week, right? The source that an Onin cannot eat Karban Pesach is never really written in Chumash. It says in Parshas Kisavo, by Maiser Sheni, that an Onin is not allowed to eat Maiser Sheni. It says, Lo achalti ve'oni mimenu. And the Gemara derives that also applies to Karban Pesach. So one could have argued that just like when it comes to an Onin not being able to consume the Karban Pesach, that's derived from Maiser Sheni, maybe we should make the reverse limud and say, well, just like an Arel can't eat Karban Pesach, so too an Arel can't eat Maiser Sheni. That's one option. The other possibility is that no, that you can only make that extrapolation in one direction. You can only learn Maiser Sheni to Karban Pesach, but not the reverse, because Karban Pesach is more chamor than Maiser Sheni is in terms of Kedusha. So the Gemara says, what's the answer to this question? Amar lehu tinisua, hatruma v'habikurim chayavim alehen misa v'chomesh v'asurin lezarim, v'hein nichse kohen, v'olin be'echad umeya, u'te'unin rechitzas yadayim v'herif shemesh, harei elu b'strumo v'habikurim ma'she'en kein b'maiser. Comes the Gemara and quotes a Mishnah that appears in Maseches Bikurim and appears in Maseches Chala as well, that says that truma and bikurim are, so let's say for example, a non-kohen or a Kohen who's Tameh, let's say, ate Truma or Bikurim b'mezet, they'd be Chayav Misa b'dei Shemayim for that. If a Zar ate a Beshogig, he's Chayav to pay what's called Keren v'chomesh, he has to pay the principal, plus an additional fifth as a penalty for eating the Truma or the Bikurim. It's also, of course, usher to a Zar, to a non-Kohen in general, to eat. It belongs to the Kohen, it's considered to be the property of the Kohen. Also, let's say, for example, Truma fell into a mixture of food, so it's Batel b'meya, right? Usually, we're familiar with the principle of Bitul b'shishim, right? If a drop of milk falls into your chalim pot, as long as you have 60 times and the milk is batel, when it comes to truma and bikurim, that shear is 1 in 100. So if you have 100 times chulin to the truma or the bikurim, then it's going to be nullified. Also the Mishnah notes that you have to wash your hands, you have to purify your hands before eating it, and also if you were tameh, you have to wait for the sun to set, right? That's the principle of a tful yom that we referenced yesterday. All of these halachos apply to truma and bikurim, but they do not apply to maiser sheni. So the Gemara asks, v'im isa nisne arel aser bahen masha inkein b'maiser. If it were the case that an Arel was not allowed to eat Maiser Sheni, that should have been another distinction listed in this Mishnah in Chala and Bikurim. The Mishnah should have noted that an Arel is not allowed to eat Truma and Bikurim, which is not the case by Maiser. In other words, if you really believe that an Arel is allowed to eat Maiser Sheni, well, that would have been an obvious distinction to draw between Truma and Maiser Sheni, because we know that an Arel is not allowed to eat Truma. That was the opening Mishnah in the beginning of this parak. So the Gemara says, no, Tana B'Shayer, that's not a proof. You could just argue that the Mishnah omitted certain differences between Truma and Maiser Sheni. So in other words, just because the Mishnah doesn't list the fact that an Arel can eat Maiser Sheni as a distinction, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's not true. So the obvious question is, Umay Shire or Dehay Shire? The Gemara always asks this question. Whenever the Gemara gives the answer, Tana V'Shayer, that the Mishnah left something out, the follow-up always is, well, what else was omitted from the Mishnah to justify leaving this out? We've explained this in the past, which again, basically, whenever the Mishnah gives you a list of something, of distinctions in this case, you're not going to just leave one thing off the list. If you want to come onto this answer that the Tana was not giving you an exhaustive list, you have to show that there were multiple things omitted from the list to justify leaving this off the list. So what else was left out of this Mishnah that justifies leaving the example of an Arel out of the Mishnah as well? So the Gemara says, Shayer de Katani Seifa, Yesh b'maiser uvabikurim ma she'inkein b'sruma, shehamaiser v'habikurim t'unin havas makomu t'unin vidui v'asur la'onein v'rab Shimon matir, v'chayavin bevir v'rab Shimon poter, v'ilu asur l'var mehen betuma, v'ochla betuma satzman loke ma she'inkein b'sruma l'katane al matane v'shayer. The Gemara comes and says that what was omitted was the latter half of this Mishnah. What does it say in the latter part of the Mishnah? It points out that there are certain halachos that apply to Maiser Sheni and Bikurim that do not apply to Truma. For example, Maiser Sheni and Bikurim have what's have an obligation of what's called Hava'as Makum. They must be brought up and eaten in Yerushalayim. Also, there's an obligation of Vidui, right? You have to recite Vidui over them. Also, then the Mishnah quotes two examples that are subject to Machlokah. So we know that Ma'aser Sheni is not allowed to be eaten by an Onen. That's a Pasuk in Chumash, as we noted before in Parshas Kisavo. Reb Shimon happens to think that for Bikurim, an Onen is allowed to consume Bikurim. According to the Tanakhama, an Onen is not allowed to consume Bikurim either, but according to Reb Shimon, Bikurim is permissible. Then there's a further Machlokas when it comes to Bior. Bior means that in the fourth and seventh years of the Shemitah cycle, right before Pesach, there's an obligation for any sort of Ma'aser Sheni that you haven't yet finished or brought up to Yerushalayim, you have to eradicate, you have to destroy. So everyone agrees that principle applies to Ma'aser Sheni. Again, that's a pasuk in Chumash, right, where it says "Velo viarti mimenu betameh," where in Parshas Kisavo. The question is, does that also apply to Bikurim? Any Bikurim that I failed to bring up to Yerushalayim, do I also have to eradicate that? That's a machlokas between the Tanakhama and Reb Shimon. But again, the point is, says the Gemara, that there are two distinctions that are omitted from this Mishnah. One is the fact that if I have, let's say, for example, truma, which is tameh, so the din is, let's say I'm a kohen, so I'm allowed to burn the Tameh Truma and derive benefit from it, which is not the case when it comes to Ma'aser Sheni and Bikurim. So if I have Ma'aser Sheni, which became Tameh, I'm not allowed to burn it and then derive benefit from the light, the oil, whatever. And the second distinction is what's called Ochlan B'Tumas Atzman, which means if the Ma'aser Sheni or the Bikurim themselves became Tameh, I would get Malkus for consuming that, which is not the case by Truma. So these two distinctions were omitted from the Mishnah. So this is the proof. This is the justification of Tana v'Shayer. So again, the fact that the Mishnah doesn't mention that an RL is allowed to eat Ma'aser Sheni is not a proof that he's not allowed to. It was simply omitted from the Mishnah, along with the litany of other things that were omitted from the Mishnah. That's the Gemara's ultimate point. Okay, then the Gemara says, Va'asurin la'onein v'Rav Shimon matir menolahu. So again, we just referenced a second ago a machlokas regarding Bikurim. Again, everyone agrees that an onein is not allowed to eat Ma'aser Sheni. There's a machlokas if an onein is allowed to eat Bikurim. So what's the source for this opinion? D'chsev, lo sucha le'echol b'sharecha ma'asar de So again, the Gemara basically goes ahead and references this pasuk from Parshas Re'eh, which talks about Ma'aser Sheni, and it says that you're not allowed to eat in your gates the Ma'aser of your grain, wine, and oil. And then it says Usrumas Yadecha. So the question is, what is that phrase Usrumas Yadecha refer to? So the Gemara quotes that Usrumas Yadecha refers to Bikurim. So according to the Tanakhama, we draw a comparison between Bikurim and Ma'aser. Just like Ma'aser and Onin, we know is not allowed to eat Ma'aser Sheni, so too an Onin is not allowed to eat Bikurim. Whereas Reb Shimon will say that no, the pasuk says Usrumas Yadecha. Comparing it to Truma, just like an Onin is allowed to eat Truma, so too an Onin would be allowed to eat Bikurim. Fine. Then the Gemara says, V'chayovin b'viru v'Rav Shimon poter mar makish umar lo makish. So again, basically just kind of a similar machlokas as we just referenced in the Gemara earlier, which is that when it comes to Bikurim, there's a machlokas whether you have this obligation of beer. Again, when it comes to Ma'aser Sheni, it's a pasuk in Chumash. Everyone agrees that you have to, you know, get rid of any Ma'aser Sheni in your house in the fourth and seventh year that you haven't yet brought up to Yerushalayim. The machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rav Shimon is whether that same concept applies to Bikurim. So again, that's a question of whether we draw this comparison again between Bikurim and Ma'aser Sheni or not. Then the Gemara said, "Va'asur levayir mehen betuma, va'ochlan betumas atzman lokem enolin." So these were the last two halachos that the Gemara mentioned earlier, which is that when it comes to truma, a kohen is allowed to burn tamei truma and derive benefit from it, which is not the case when it comes to tamei ma'aser sheni or bikurim. And the second halacha was that if you consume tamei ma'aser sheni or tamei bikurim, you're chayav malchus, which again is not the case when it comes to consuming tamei truma. So how do we know that this distinction is correct? So the Gemara says, "Desanya Reb Shimon Omer lo viarti mimenu b'tamei bein shani tamei v'hu tahor bein shani tahor v'hu tamei." So the Gemara quotes again the pasuk from Parshas Kisavo, where when the person is doing vidui on the ma'aser sheni, he says, "Lo viarti mimenu b'tamei." I never, remove the Ma'aser Sheni in a state of Tuma. So Reb Shimon interprets that to mean that a person is chai of whether they are Tamei and eat the Ma'aser Sheni, or even if they themselves are Tohar, but the Ma'aser Sheni itself is Tamei, they're going to be chai of Malkus in both of those cases. And how do we know that there's an Azhara? In other words, just because the Torah tells you not to do something, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're chai of Malkus for it. So where is there a separate Azhara that indicates that I'm also chai of Malkus for eating Ma'aser Sheni, which is Tamei? So the Gemara says, we don't know what the source is that you would be chai of Malka. So the Gemara says, what do you mean Tumas Aguf? The Hedjik Siv Be Nefesh Asher Tiga Bovitamead Ha'arev Lo Yocham and Hakadashim Kiyam Rachatz Basaro Bamayim. But the pasuk says in Parsha Emor, in last week's Parsha, it says that if someone who's Tumay, right? So he had, let's say a person touched a sheret. So if you touch a sheret, you're only Tumay Tumas Erev. You're only Tumay until that evening. You go to the mikvah and then you become tahar. But until you fully become tahar, you're not allowed to consume the meat of a carbon until you basically fully purify yourself. So the Gemara says, you're right. Hachi Kami Bayale Tumas Atzmo Minayin. How do I know that that one would be chai of malchus for consuming, let's say, meiser sheni, which became tameh? Again, the person is tahar, but he's eating tameh meiser sheni. How do we know that he's chai of malchus? Says the Gemara, Talmud lomar lo suchal le'achol bisharecha masar deganecha ulahalanu omer bisharecha tochalenu hatameh v'hattahor yachdav katzavi v'chayol. So again, one pasuk is the one that we already referenced in Parshas Re'eh, which tells me that you're not allowed to eat in your gates the meiser of your grain, your wine, and your oil. And then another pasuk in Parshas Re'eh says that the tameh and the tahar together, they can eat like the tzvi and the ayal, like the deer and the gazelle. So what does this mean? V'sana devei Rabbi Yishmael, afilu tamei v'tahar uchlen al shulchan echad v'ka'ara achas v'einon choshashin, that even a tamei and tahar person are allowed to eat together at the same table, and we don't have to be, or even from the same plate, and we don't have to be concerned that that the tahar guy is going to consume the tamei person's food. V'ka'ama rachamana hahuda amri l'cha hasam b'sharecha tochalenu hacha lo seichol. Comes the Gemara and explains the following. This idea that a person who's tahar can eat together on the same plate with the guy who's tamei, that was specifically referring to what's called psulei hamukdashin. Psulei hamukdashin basically means an animal that was initially designated as a karban that somehow became disqualified. It developed a mum. Something happened to disqualify it as a karban. So in that case, the Gemara says, yeah, if you're tamei tar, you can eat together. However, in contrast to that, says the Gemara here by meiser sheni, that does not apply. So this is the source that if a tahar person consumes tamei meiser sheni, they're going to be chai of malchus. That's how the Gemara derives this from, based on these psukim in Parshas Re'eh. Okay.
So
yeah.
What does a person do if they have tamei maaser sheni and bikurim? Do they bury it?
Well, they probably have to burn it. They have to destroy it. Yeah, you have to destroy it.
I thought it said you couldn't.
You can't derive benefit from it, but you still have to get rid of it. You can't derive benefit. Yeah. Okay. Then the Gemara said, "Mashein came b'sruma menalan." So again, we pointed out in the Gemara earlier that these halachos about the fact that you cannot derive benefit from tamei meiser sheni, or the fact that you get malchus for eating tamei meiser sheni, those do not apply to tamei truma. If you're a kohen and the truma became tamei, you can derive benefit from it, and if you eat tamei truma, you are not going to be chai malchus. So how do we know that? Amar Rabbi Yavo, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, De Amar Kra, Lo Viarti Mimenu B'tamei, Mimenu Yatamavir, Avalatamavir Shemen Shol Truma Shindit. So comes the Gemara, and again, the same pasuk from Parshas Kisavo that talks about Meiser Sheni, in other words, if the Meiser Sheni became Tumah, you have to burn it. So the Gemara says you can't derive benefit from the Meiser Sheni, Mimenu, but implying that from Truma that became Tumah, you are allowed to derive benefit. So asks the Gemara, the Ema Mimenu Yatamavir Avalatamavir Shemen Shol Kodesh Shenitma. How do I know that Truma, that Tumah Truma, is the thing which is excluded from that pasuk in Kisavo? Perhaps the pasuk is coming to exclude Kodesh oil that became Tumah, right? Kodshim is a much higher level of Kedusha than Truma. Perhaps that's what the pasuk meant to exclude. So the Gemara says, "What do you mean? Lav kal v'chomeru umam meiser hakal amra Torah lo viarti mimenu b'tamei kodesh chomer lo kol shekein." The Gemara says that when it comes, meiser sheni has much less kedusha than truma and kodshim, and the Torah is still telling us that you're not allowed to derive benefit when you're burning it when it's tamei. So then, kal v'chomer, if the oil is kodesh, for sure you're not allowed to derive benefit from that. So the Gemara then pushes back, "Ihachi truma nami kal v'chomer." So then, what about truma? How come truma is somehow the exception? Truma also has more kedusha than meiser sheni does. So how come when it comes to tamei truma, you're allowed to burn it and derive benefit? So the Gemara says, no, haksim mimenu. That was part of the exclusion. That was part of the chiddush of the pasuk. When the pasuk says lo viarti mimenu b'tamei, the word mimenu was coming to exclude truma. That was a chiddush. Again, in other words, the Gemara is saying, you're right. The baseline, the starting point is that truma also should have been problematic to derive benefit from it when it's tamei, but that's the chiddush haTorah that it's not the case. So asks the Gemara, umara isa. So now the question is, this basically just seems to be arbitrary. In other words, why is the pasuk saying, oh, well, you know, tamei truma is okay, but if it's kodesh oil, then it's a problem. What's the difference? In other words, how does the Gemara know that this distinction is correct? So the Gemara says, no, mistabra kodesh lo mematina shekein pigol noser karban meila karis va'asher la'onin. So comes the Gemara and points out that it makes more sense to say that tamei kodesh oil or wood is not excluded, that you're still not allowed to derive benefit from that because of the following halachos that are unique to karbanos to kachim, which is first of all that it's subject to pigol, right? If the kohen shech the karban, carbon with an inappropriate machshava, that's going to disqualify the carbon. No sir means that if you left it over beyond the proper time, now you have to burn it, now you have to get rid of it. It's obviously a carbon. It's something which is sacrificed to Hashem, which is obviously not necessarily the case by truma. You're not sacrificing anything per se. It's also subject to the issur of me'ila, right? If you by accident derive benefit from something which belongs to Hekdesh and you violate Me'ila, you have to bring a carbon Hashem Me'ilos, you have to pay a certain penalty for that. It's a whole discussion about that. And then also your Chayv Kares, obviously also in these cases, if you derive benefit from something which is Kodesh, and it's also usher for an Onin. An Onin is also not allowed to consume Kodshim. So the Gemara says all of these halachos, all of these features put together is pointing us in the direction that of course Kodesh oil cannot be excluded. Of course you're not allowed to derive benefit from it because of all these halachos. So asks the Gemara, Adarabba, Truma lo mematina, shekein misa v'chomesh ve'en lapidjon v'asura lezarim. Well, Truma also has certain salient features that are unique to Truma that do not apply to Kodshim. Namely, if a person eats, let's say a zar ate Truma b'mezid, he's chayiv misa b'dei shamayim. If he ate it b'shogeg, he has to pay, as we noted earlier in the Gemara, keren v'chomesh, the principal plus an additional fifth. And there's also no such thing as redemption. You can't redeem Truma. You can redeem Meiser Sheni, but you cannot redeem Truma. And you can also redeem Kachim in certain cases. And it's also usher for a Zara to eat. So the Gemara says, what about all of these features that would lead us to believe that Truma should be the thing which is not excluded from the Pasuk? In other words, that it should be usher to derive benefit. So the Gemara says, no, Hanach Nefishan. So the first answer is that there are more salient features pointing in the direction that Kachim, that Kodesh oil is the thing which is included in the issur of deriving benefit, whereas Truma has less salient features. So Truma, therefore, should be permitted to derive benefit when it becomes tough. Or if you don't want to come onto this technical answer of, you know, the number of features in one direction over the other, you can just point out that one of the features that applies to Kachim that does not apply to Truma is the fact that you're Chayav Kares. Now, even though you are Chayav Misa B'dei Shamayim for Truma, Misa B'dei Shamayim is considered to be a lesser type of a punishment than Kares, so the Kares kind of bumps it up a little bit. So that leads us to believe that that there's a problem to derive benefit from Tamei Kodesh oil, which is not the case when it comes to Tamei Truma. Okay. Then the Gemara says, Va'ochlan B'tum So the Gemara is medayik. You know, the Gemara infers the following point. We said in the Gemara earlier that one is only chayav malchus for consuming tamei Maiser Sheni or Bikurim, which is not the case when it comes to Truma. If you eat Tamei Truma, you're not Chayav Malkus. So the Gemara says, yes, you're not Chayav Malkus, but it's still usher to do. How do we know that it's still usher to do? Omar Kra, Bisharecha Tochelenu Lazevelo Liachir, Vilav Abba Michlal Asay Asay. The Gemara infers on the Pasuk that we referenced earlier regarding Psule HaMukdashin. The Pasuk said earlier that you're allowed to consume in certain cases Psule HaMukdashin, animals that were initially designated as carbonos that eventually developed a mum and now they're disqualified. So that Pasuk is coming to exclude Truma. Now, what that basically tells me is that, yes, I'm not Chayav Malkus for consuming Tamei Truma, but it's still usher on pain of an Isser Aseh. And that's the reason why you're not Chayav Malkus. In other words, one is never Chayav Malkus for violating an Isser Aseh. You don't get Malkus for not doing a Mitzvah Aseh. So because the Isser to consume Tamei Truma is only usher on pain of an Isser Aseh, derived from this pasuk of Bisharecha Tochelenu, therefore it's usher, but you're not going to be Chayav Malkus if you violated it. Amar Rav Ashi, Mireisha Nami Shamat Mina Desana V'Shayer, Midalaka Now, Rav Ashi circles all the way back to a topic that we were discussing in the beginning of this daf, which is the fact that of Tana v'Shayer. Again, as we noted earlier in the Gemara, that the Tana was not presenting an exhaustive list of things that were mentioned in the Mishnah regarding the contrast between Truma and Meiser Sheni. So, one of the other things that was omitted from the Mishnah is the fact that Truma, the concept of Truma applies in all years of the Shemitah cycle. Meiser Sheni, that's not the case. Meiser Sheni only applies in the first, second, fourth, and fifth years of the Shemitah cycle. In the third and sixth, you do Meiser Ani instead of Meiser Sheni. So that's already one thing that Truma has over Meiser Sheni. Also, as we noted earlier in the Gemara, the Truma is not subject to pigeon. You can't redeem it. And those two halachos do not apply to Meiser Sheni. And yet, the Gemara never mentions these distinctions in the Mishnah. So because the Mishnah failed to list these distinctions, this is another proof that the Tana was not giving us an exhaustive list of distinctions between Truma and Meiser.